Our Father, we give You praise. We adore You. And Lord, we look forward to that day when we will sing a new song with You in glory. When we will see the nail-scarred hands. When we will see the pierced side. When we will see those marks of redemption. When we will see that innocent lamb that was slain for us. Lord, we will cry out, holy, holy, holy. Lord, I pray that we would not wait to praise You until then, but that we would see You afresh and anew and in realness in our life today. Lord, speak to us through Your Word and help us, Lord, to be ready to speak to others about You, about who You are and what You do. And we give You the thanks and praise, for it's in Your name we pray. Amen. As you're being seated this morning, our kids are going to be dismissed for Kids Connect. You'll just meet the teacher up front here and get a time to go back in the Word of God together. And this morning, take your Bibles with me to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Yes, it's not Ephesians. We're breaking from Ephesians this week because we have an exciting day ahead of us. Lots going on. The exciting thing about today is that we have an opportunity to serve. An opportunity to serve our community. And it's a big opportunity for our church in this community. A chance to do all these things and to make an impact. Nicole was at the store yesterday getting a few supplies and different things, and the cashier noticed the name Touthy Baptist Church, and she's like, is that church, you know, that one over there by Winter Circle and all that? And she's like, yeah. And she said, are y'all having a fall festival? And she said, yep. So we're going to have slime, we're going to have sand, we're going to have a petting zoo. There is a possibility of a llama being here tonight. There is going to be a little bit of everything for everyone. And the cashier said, wow, I think we're going to be there. So it's an opportunity to make an impact on our community. And if we're going to do it, and we're going to do it with our name, but more importantly with the name of Jesus, we need to do it with the best that we can. Because we have something to talk about. We have something that we need to share. And we have a story unlike any other. There have been a lot of really great stories in history. There's been a lot of really inspiring things. I hate to admit it, because I am not a fan of Notre Dame, but one of the most inspiring sports movies that's out there is the Moody Rudy. Right? And it was inspired on a true story. Now, not everything in the movie is exactly how it happened, but there's a lot. There's a lot of good content. But what's really interesting is when you actually listen to the real guy, Rudy Rudiger. He is inspiring. He was the oldest of seven, and he said, you know, we had to fight for everything. The first pair of underwear, the first bath, everything, you know, they had to fight and everything that went on. And he was just an inspiring story. Because he knew he wasn't the smartest. Grades never came easy to him. In fact, in fifth grade, walked into class and he was cutting up, and he was really good at sports. So, you know, he was kind of known for being good at sports and baseball and football and all these things. And in fifth grade, he sat down and he was causing some trouble, and the teacher to single him out said, you know, all right, Rudy, if you want to talk so much, I want you to give me the fifth president. And he fell quiet. And he couldn't. She said, now go sit in the back of the class. He would tell people, I graduated third from the bottom. He said his teachers never told him told him he was too stupid to take the ACT, the SAT. So he never took those. And he always had this dream of being at Notre Dame and playing football for Notre Dame. And you know the story, he kept working at it. He went to Holy Cross, this junior college right there next to it, and got his grades up. He kept applying and applying and applying after rejection, finally, he was accepted to Notre Dame. He was around the campus so much that before he became a student, they had given him a job in the athletic department because they thought he was a student. He was there so much. And he was there, and then he walked on as a football player, and he worked hard, and he was on the practice squad and the practice team, and he would be the dummy defense. And he would constantly be running and getting killed by these much bigger guys. Until his senior year, the last game of the season, Notre Dame's playing Georgia Tech. And Notre Dame, the only way that he's ever going to get in is if Notre Dame was just blowing him out. So they come down, Notre Dame finally scores. There's about 50 seconds left on the clock. Rudy is still biting at the bit. He's hoping maybe I can get in. And the coach says, Rudy, get in on a kickoff team. He had no idea what he was doing on kickoff team. But he ran out there with all his might. Went down the field to kick off, and they covered the kickoff, and it was, they tackled him, and he started to run to the sideline. He's like, what do I do? Coach said, just stay in there. Get at the defensive end. He gets a defensive end. They snap the ball, and somehow Rudy shoots the gap. He gets through, and he sacks the quarterback with just a few seconds left. His teammates come, and they carry him from one end zone, basically, to the other across the field. And carry him on his shoulders. They get to the locker room, and there's the reporters are all in the locker room, and they're talking to all these guys, and here's Rudy that all these guys, are applauding and all these things, and this well-known reporter comes up to Rudy and says, who are you? Your name's not even on your jersey, who are you? And he started telling the story and everything, and the reporter said, man, this is a story for Hollywood. Well, see, the movie, it kind of cuts off there, but in his life, Rudy took that. You see, he was the one that pushed to get the movie made. He was the one that sold the story. He's the one that got the writer to write the story. They got the writer for the movie of Hoosiers to write the story for him. And he got it, and he would continue to go, and he still today goes around and gives inspirational talks. Why? Because he felt he had something to share. He has something to talk about. Dream big, believe in yourself, keep going on. That was his message. This morning, folks, this book tells us we have something to talk about. His name is Jesus, and he's a lot bigger than Rudy. Look here with me, 1 John chapter 1. And I want you to see just a few things from the first few verses here. In chapter 1, verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaim it to you, the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Here, John, as he's beginning this letter, he starts off with really kind of a very weird sentence here. This is really all one sentence that has a little bit of a parenthesis. Verse 2 kind of works as a parenthesis of his subject matter. But the main verb of this sentence is what starts verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim. Here's the main verb. We proclaim. He said, this is something that we have to talk about. We need to talk about this. We have something to proclaim. And his name is Jesus. So what does he do? But before all that, he gives us the object. Verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we've looked on and touched on with our hands concerning the word of life. That is Jesus. And he's starting with the object. So this construction here is giving us the idea that it's not about the act of delivery, it's about the content of delivery. He's saying the content dictates the delivery. And we as believers have something to talk about. And it's not necessarily about how we do it. It's about the content of who we're talking about. It's about Jesus Christ and us sharing Jesus Christ. You see, He has done the work. He is real, and that should be the content that we deliver. Too many times we're worried about the delivery. We're worried about the package. When Jesus says, no, I am the content you deliver. I take care of the package. I change the package. But I am the content you have a chance to tell about Jesus Christ. And so this something to talk about, John gives us here a few things about what it is we talk about. First thing we see is it's something original. It's something original. Notice that first line, that which was from the beginning. That which is from the beginning. This is establishing a point of reference. This is something original going all the way back to the beginning. If you notice, this is very similar to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's similar to John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. And so we see this beginning, we see this idea of something that is original, and this tells us about Jesus. It tells us that He is timeless, that He's from the beginning. It tells us that He is the self-existent one. He is the I Am. He is the one that has that claim of being there with God upon creation. And the Colossians tells us that by Him and for Him all things were created. He is the original. Isn't that always the kind of the fight between Coke and Pepsi and all this? Who is the original? Well, let me tell you, we serve today the original. Jesus Christ. There's no established date that He's been there from the beginning. And this is something that John is giving us a sense of time, a sense of bigness about Jesus Christ. We have an opportunity to tell people about something that's original, that's been around from the beginning. But then also, we get to share something that's real. We get to share something that's real, because notice what He says after that. Which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the Word of life. These are all verbs of perception. Heard. We have seen it. We've touched. We've looked upon. All this is showing that John was saying, I was walking with Jesus. He is real. You know, there's people more and more that are trying to come and say, you know, what is the evidence that Jesus really exists? There is more evidence that Jesus existed than some of the other historical figures we've seen through history. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians even tells us that Jesus was seen of the 12. He was seen of the women at the tomb. He was seen of the two men on the road to Emmaus. And Paul even says, even by 500 disciples at another point in time, there are more records of people seeing Jesus alive than some of the other notable historical figures. And all of this points to the fact that there is a real Jesus. John is saying that he has heard Him. He has seen Him with his eyes. He has touched Him. When you see Him with the eyes, He's giving an emphasis here. He's really trying to bring it out that this was real, something that has changed Him. When He says, I have touched, we have touched with our hands. This is the same that we see in Luke chapter 24, verses 38 and 39. It says, and He said to them, why are you so troubled? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. Now, the really interesting thing here is when you look at the verbs and you look at their tenses. And this is all that nerdy stuff that I really enjoy when you study the Scripture. Because the verbs come to two different tenses. There's verbs in the perfect tense and verbs in the aorist tense, the past tense. And when you put these together in this construction, that what John is saying here, he is saying is that what we have seen, what we have heard in the past is having an impact on us still to this day. You want to know why people don't see the real Jesus anymore? Because we get too comfortable with him. Because he no longer makes an impact on us the way that he did when he saved our soul. The problem is not Jesus. The problem is we have forgotten that we have seen, that we have heard, that we have touched, and that Jesus Christ has transformed us, that he has saved us from our sins, that he has taken that thing that we could not do, that he took that sin, that so vile thing, that thing that brings us down, those failures, all those things, he nailed them to a cross, and he changed our life for all eternity so that we could be changed. We could be transformed and not live in that dirtiness that's going to bring heartache, but walk with him in joy and in life. And John's saying that which we have seen, this realness of this Jesus that we've seen, that we've touched, that we've heard, all those things, it is still having an impact on me today. And maybe that's where we need to get back to. That there is a relationship with Jesus Christ that is having an impact on us today. You see, John was fighting against false teachers. And he's going to continue on through the book to talk about those different false teachers. And they were trying to take away from who Jesus was. There were a group of people that were saying that Jesus was nothing but a spirit. He wasn't really real. It was a figment. There were people that were saying that Jesus was a man up until the cross, and then the baptism where the Spirit then resided on Jesus, and then after his death, the Spirit's taken away. Well, then he wasn't fully God, and he wasn't fully human, and we have problems with all of that because atonement then couldn't happen for humans. And so what John was saying is here, that which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon, we've touched with our hands concerning this word of life, it is real, it has changed us, and that is who we proclaim. You know what I found out? People don't talk about Jesus when Jesus isn't talking into them. When they have put him aside. When there's no relationship happening with Jesus Christ, you know what? We're not going to talk about him. But when there's a vibrancy, when he's doing something in us, when there is a relationship with him, we will see the realness pour forth in us. And that is what John is saying. We proclaim today something that is real, and it's got to be real with us. Then we see it's something that's worthy. Because notice verse 2. The life, here's the parenthesis, right? He started off with the subject, Jesus. He's going to talk about him we're proclaiming. But here in verse 2 is this parenthesis. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaim it to you. The eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. He's saying this is something that is worthy to be talked about. Why? Because he says testify and proclaim. He was made manifest, we've seen it, and we testify to it and proclaim. Now this idea of testify here brings in the legal sense. It's the idea of a witness. It speaks to the witness of two or more that we see from Old Testament law, Deuteronomy 19:15. A single witness shall not suffice against a person for any crime or for any wrong in connection with any offense that he has committed. Only on the evidence of two witnesses or of three witnesses shall a charge be established. He's saying this isn't just any claim, but one that is worthy of witness and testimony, just like that eyewitness testimony that's required for the law. You see, I'm going to give you my testimony. I'm going to testify. I'm going to witness. I'm going to give you my personal deposition here about Jesus Christ. If you had to give a personal deposition about Jesus in your life to someone else, would they believe it? Would they see it? Testify. And then proclaim. That's the response to the truth. That's the response to this change and what's happening with Jesus in our life. If we have the truth, we tell the truth. We give it. How many people have the truth and knowingly lie? There's no reason to. If you don't have to lie, there's no reason to lie. Here we have the truth of Jesus Christ. He is worthy then to talk about. And that worthiness stems from our relationship with Him. Then also fourth, we see that it's something that's productive. Something that's productive. Look at verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you so that, here's the result clause that he's bringing in now, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Folks, there is so much power that's packed right in there. I'm writing all this. I'm testifying. I'm talking to you about all these things because it's productive. So that you too, you also may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Notice what he's saying here. Fellowship. Fellowship is that word that means a deep sharing of all things common. It means there is a something that binds us all together here. And it's Jesus Christ. He's saying here, all of this, we're telling you this, we're witnessing to you this, we're giving you this testimony about this one that was real, that changes our life, so that you too can have fellowship with us. That we can have this in common. You see, folks, when we come together as a body of believers, we don't come together based on who we are. We're not sitting here because we all have our ducks in a row. We're not sitting here because our lives are squeaky clean. We're not sitting here because we were holy in of ourselves. We are sitting here because Jesus Christ has made us clean. We are sitting here because Jesus Christ has changed us. Because Jesus Christ sees us in our muck, in our mire, and He's the one through His blood that washes us white as snow. That fellowship, that things that we have in common, it's not that we are just like one another. No, it's that His blood has redeemed us. And He's loved us all the same. You know what? You're going to have a difference of opinion with people in this sanctuary. And it's okay. Unless it's my opinion, then we're going to have trouble. I'm kidding. Sometimes. No, this is a way sometimes I feel like when we have fellowship in a church, sometimes it's very easy for us just to congregate with the people that we know. It's very easy for us to only have fellowship with the people that we're comfortable with. People that look like us or in our life stage or going through, we have the same similar likes and dislikes, but yet as a church, one of the benefits is we have people from all walks of life. We have people coming from every place. We have people with all kinds of life experiences in different places and different things. And you know what? The one thing that is similar in all of that is Jesus Christ. He changes it. And so it's not about what we have done, where we have been, or who we are. It is about who He is. It is something that is productive that we talk about. And so that means that no matter who walks through those doors or who we have a chance to minister to today, we do it all with the same passion. We do it all with the same love because it's Jesus Christ that makes the fellowship. It's Jesus Christ that puts us together. And because of that, we have something productive to talk about. It's a means of pulling people together horizontal. But not only that, notice what that fellowship also is. He says, and indeed, truly, our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. Here's the beautiful thing, that because of what Jesus Christ did, because of who He is, you get to have things in common with Jesus Christ. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, in verses 16 and 17, that we are heirs with Christ. He calls us joint heirs. We have something in common. And that's because of what Jesus Christ did. A place we do not deserve being. You ever gone somewhere and you knew, hey, I don't deserve to be here. This place is too fancy for me. This place is, you know, too blingy for me. It's just not me. I don't deserve to be here, right? I'll tell you, one day when we're standing before God in the throne room and we're seeing all the bling, and we're seeing all the brilliance, we're not going to be sitting there saying, man, I deserve this. We're going to sit there and say, I do not deserve to be here. But there's the Lamb. There's the one that gives me all the reason why I can claim to be here. And His name is Jesus Christ. It is something productive when it produces a fellowship with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And then what else does it produce? In verse 4, these things we are writing so that our joy may be complete. Not happiness, joy. Because joy is lasting. Happiness can be temporary. Happiness can be temporal. It's the same as with pleasure. When we seek pleasure, when we seek the happiness of this flesh, it's constantly going to be fleeting. We might have it one moment and then it's gone. It might taste good for a moment, but then the pain comes. It might feel good for a moment, but then the troubles come. Here is joy, not happiness. Something that He's saying that through Jesus Christ, our joy may be complete. This idea of complete is it's the idea of being filled up, full. That yes, when you're even going through the hard times, you can have joy, not because of you, but because of Jesus Christ. Because of who He is. And too many times we try to replace Jesus with something else or some other substance, just like we saw in Ephesians chapter 5 last week. Do not be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, because through Jesus Christ we can get more joy from Him than any substance can provide here on this earth. And here is the fellowship that we get to have with Him. John says that is something to talk about. That's the story. That's the person that makes all the difference in this world. That is what is bigger than any Hollywood story, because this lasts for eternity in heaven. I told you, Rudy, he continues to go around and he gives inspirational talks still wherever he goes. And here just recently, he was giving a talk in Arizona. And he was talking about the process of getting the movie made and all that went through it. And he said on set, there was this lady there and her name was Nicole. He said she was just pleasant to be around. She would go get everything for everyone. She would take care of everybody. And then after, when the movie wrapped, when the movie was done, she went to Washington, to work in Washington. And there in Washington, she met the First Lady's brother. And she got married to the First Lady's brother, which at that time was the Clintons. And she married Tony Rodham, Hillary's brother. And one night it was Nicole and Tony and the president. And they were all sitting there talking. And the president asked Nicole, well, what have you been doing? What have you spent your summer doing? She said, well, I just finished working on a movie. And it's kind of an underdog story. It's about this little guy, you know, and he gets on to Notre Dame and gets to play. And President Clinton was like, I love underdog stories. You know, why don't we have a movie night at the White House? Bring Rudy to the White House. I want to meet him. And so they set up this big movie night at the White House, and Rudy's walking in, and he's walking into the White House, and there is the president. And he says he walked up to the president, but yet he was looking behind him. Because on the wall behind President Clinton was the pictures of all the presidents. And he said, I looked for number five. And he said, I saw a James Monroe. When the teacher said he was too stupid, here he was sitting in the White House, dreaming big. As great as a story and exciting it is to talk about that, folks, we have something real to talk about too. His name is Jesus. And he should permeate everything that we do. It's bigger than a Hollywood story. Why? Because it's your story. It's what you get to tell people. That he's the one that changes my life. Shall we stand? With your head bowed and your eyes closed. What's the realness like in your relationship with Jesus this morning? Yeah, there's a lot of things that are going on. There's a lot of busyness. There's a lot of problems. There's a lot of heartaches. There's a lot of joys. There's a lot of things that are going on, but right now, how real is that relationship with Jesus to you? Have you lost that sense of joy? Have you lost that sense of realness because you've taken your eyes off of Jesus this morning? Has it been hard to talk about Him because you haven't been looking at Him? You know, right now is the perfect time to get back to a real relationship. To get that freshness so that we have something to talk about. That even as we serve and we go out into the community, we don't go out squeaky clean people. We go out as redeemed people through that realness of Jesus Christ. And as we do so, we need to have that vibrancy of Jesus. That He motivates our speech. That He motivates our actions. Is it there this morning? You know, our God is so beautifully forgiving that He says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to cleanse us. And this morning could be a time to get back to that realness. In just a moment, we're going to sing. We're going to go through our response time. But don't let it just be normal. Let's let this sink in. Let's let Jesus be real to us in this place today. Just as John touched and heard and saw, may we remember what the cross and what Jesus Christ does for us. So that when others are in our life, we have the opportunity to share that with them through us. So in just a moment, when we start singing, the altar's here as a place where you can come and lay down whatever's in the way between you and Jesus this morning. But not only that, knowing the service that we have tonight and the opportunities before us to serve our community, maybe you just need to reach around and grab some people and just say, let's pray. Maybe you just want to grab a few people right there next to you and just pray that tonight that we would share Jesus through us. And He'd be real in us with our community. Wouldn't it be incredible as we sing, open our eyes, that we are praying together as a church body. Lord, open the eyes of our community to see Jesus and let them see it through us. So as we sing, someone take courage and reach around, grab some people, and let's pray that God does something through us for His name's sake. Our Father, now we put it in Your hands. Let Your Spirit move and work. Help us, Lord, to respond to You, to seek You, to make You real, so that others would see that vibrancy in our lives. Help us, Lord, to do what You're having us to do. For it's in Your name we pray. Amen.